Thank you, Elizabeth and Carolyn and Dawn and Jim, for the wonderful work you did in finding some counselors to work with us in VBS this year. We have three young people that are going to join us over the summer, helping Braden, helping with VBS, doing all kinds of things in church. We'll introduce you to them when they come. Four. Sorry, I missed one. Oh, and Jenna too as well. How can I miss you, Jenna? Good morning. She's sitting there. How can I miss you, young woman? You see, I forgot. You've been appointed a little while ago. Good. Jenna's going to work really closely with Braden. So looking forward to that. Isn't this amazing? I baptized that kid. Now she's coming. Time for me to go. Thank you for the hard work in doing this and meeting with them and allowing the Lord to work through you to appoint them. We really are looking forward to that. Please pray for Bradley and Carrie. Brad's dad is not doing well. We don't think he'll come home. He's going home. He's going home. So pray for the family in a really difficult time. It's been a tough week for them. Spent most of the week in a hospital room. It was Carrie's week off from work. And instead of being in a dental office, she was sitting in a hospital room. Yeah. So thank you for your prayers for them. Just a reminder about Central. We're a Jesus church where everyone is welcome, where no one is perfect, but where everyone is loved and where anything is possible. Thank you to Dave and Catherine. Praise team just took a week off. I don't know who told them they could, but thank you that you guys are always out there to help and are gracious and giving your gifts. I saw the dust coming out when you played the organ this morning. Father, thank you for this moment. It is always so exciting to walk into your word and to allow the word to speak into our lives. You're amazing. And we love you very much. In these moments, we want to see Jesus. And only Jesus. Amen. Starting a new series. Asking the question, what are you thinking? So for the next few weeks until the end of June, this is what we'll be doing. We'll be thinking about what we're thinking about. And I'm excited to do the series with you. When I wrote it 6, 8, 10 weeks ago, whenever that was, it was really fun writing this. So look forward to spending some time with you. Just for the fun, I decided to count them. No, not cheap. No, not my chickens before they hatched. My thoughts. Because I wondered, how many thoughts do I have every day? I mean, I hear them, I eat them, but I've never counted them. Have you? I did. Took a piece of paper and a pen, and I decided every thought I have, I'm going to make a mark. Man, I'm really hungry. Dot. Oh, I need to remember to take out the garbage. Elsie asked me yesterday. Dot dash. Why in the world would the neighbor's dog be barking at 11 o'clock at night? Dot, dot, dash, dash. Man, as I was going on, I sounded like one of these old telegraph machines, the Morse code. Dot, dot, dash, dot, 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 dash, dot, dot. It didn't take me too long to realize that trying to count my thoughts was a really dumb idea. But I also realized this, that all of those little dot dash thoughts followed me all through the day, and they never stopped. I also realized that if I was going to be honest, that we are the sum of our thoughts. Positive thoughts usually work out into a positive attitude. Negative thoughts easily gravitate towards negative behavior. For instance, that angry outburst, behind that was some other angry thought. Behind that kind gesture and that gracious moment was some other kind or gracious thought. No wonder you remember him well, René Descartes. Remember what he said? Good old philosopher. Cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore I am. We're governed by these things called thoughts. So as I was doing all this, I was thinking, is it possible that if I could change the way I think, that it would change the way in which I live my life? Now, according to the neurosurgeons, yes, we can. They have a beautiful term called neuroplasticity. Go look it up. Neuroplasticity, in layman's terms, just for me, because I don't understand these big things. Neuroplasticity means that the mind is pliable and that it can change and adjust according to experiences that it has. I was born a warrior, so I'm going to die a warrior. Not necessarily. I'm grumpy, so I'll just be grumpy forever. Not necessarily. But here's the best news. If I allow God to start touching my thoughts, what I'm thinking about, God can change those thoughts. Long before we even knew that wonderful big word, neuroplasticity, the word already told us all about that. Scripture said, if you take your thoughts and you allow God to touch those thoughts, God will not just change the thoughts, but God will change your whole life. Don't take my word for it. Let's take the Word's word for that. So let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And I'm going to read from the NIV. Therefore, says Paul, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. But, and there's your biblical but, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What will happen? Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but let God transform you by renewing your mind. That word conform is an interesting word. In the Greek, George, this one especially for you, the Greek word, sunskemizo. Now, it's an interesting word. Listen carefully and you'll hear the English. Sun, together, the same. Skemizo, scheme, schematic, conform. Get the same schematics as everyone else. So when we use that word conform, it implies an external pressure that is molding you into a different shape or form. And I got a little bag of tricks for you this morning. I like my bag of tricks. Conform is a little bit like this Play-Doh, right? Sorry, Aiden. He asked me last night, what are you going to do with that? I said, I'm going to play with this in church. Conform is a little bit like this Play-Doh. I can do with this Play-Doh whatever I want. I can form it into a beautiful little ball. And it has no choice. It has to conform because I did that. If I want to make it into a cube, I can make it into a cube. And it has no choice. It has to conform. If I'm tired of that and I just want to squish it, that's fine. But here's the interesting one. If I take this, and let me take another color, and I have a pattern, and I take this little piece of Play-Doh, and I put it in this thing, and I put this external pressure on that, does it have a choice? It becomes whatever this thing tells it to be. And in this case, it is a hamburger patty. A moment ago, it was a piece of Play-Doh. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. You see, here's the thing with Satan. Satan wants to shape us. Satan wants us to conform to his mold. Wants to shape our thinking into the thinking of this world, and he wants us to follow the thinking of the world. I'm saying, no, I want to be a cube. And Satan says, I will change your thinking, and you will think like this world, and you will conform to that. So when the world teaches us to value money more than people, that's conforming. When the world teaches me that my value is found in what I wear and what I drive and where I live and how much I have, that's conforming. And it's changing who I am. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do. If I allow him to take my thoughts, he will conform my thoughts. And boy, do we live in a world where we see that. What do they call them? Influencers? I got a better word for them, but if I use that, I won't be your minister anymore. Boatload of baloney that they want to teach us. And we eat that up for sweet cakes. Is that an expression that you know in Canada? Sometimes I use expressions from South Africa and you don't know what it means. They're doing this. This is what Satan is doing. But the word says, don't let that happen because you have someone else in your corner. And can I read you another translation? Man, this is beautiful. It's J.B. Phillips, one of the oldest translations into English. It's not a translation. It's more of a just a beautiful saying of how it sounds. Put it up there for us, Grace. Just verse 1. Romans 2, verse 1. 12, 1, I mean. Do not let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. Satan will mess with you. That's what he does. He will squeeze you into its own mold. You want to be a chicken wing? He'll make you a hamburger patty. That's just who he is. Question is, do you sometimes feel squeezed? Does this world squeeze with your mind sometimes, trying to mold that? I have some really good news. You have someone in your corner that is way stronger than that thing that is trying to squeeze you. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but let God transform you by renewing your mind. Remember that word transform? George, can I abuse your name again? April 2024, I preached a whole sermon on the word transform, the Greek word metamorphosa. Remember that sermon? metamorphosis. What happens when there's a metamorphosis? So the Greek word meta, change, morph, morphe, morph, change your form. Let God transform you from that old caterpillar that you is eating leaves, and that's all I do, I eat leaves. And then God comes and says, can I transform you, and you change into this amazing butterfly that is not put in a mold, but that is free to fly and to live because you have been transformed, made brand new, not put into the mold of this world and of Satan, but made free in Jesus Christ, your Lord. And when that happens, when I allow God to transform this stuff, these thoughts, and I allow Him to not mold me into a thing, but set me free in Jesus Christ. That's when, what was my question? Is it possible that when my thoughts change, that my life will change? Yes. In that moment that I allow God to set me free, my life changes. I'm not a slave to sin and those sinful thoughts anymore, but I am free in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Put that second verse on there, grace, please, from Phillips. It translates, do not let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within. What a beautiful gift. Lord, can I give them to you? Man, I got a lot of dots and dashes down here, and I can't count them, but you can count them. You can remold them. Here's the cool thing. That's why I read the Greek and the Hebrew. When you read this beautiful passage in the Greek, it's called in Greek, it's written in the passive tense, which says this. When you read this, it's not you that is the one who is responsible for doing this. The one who is responsible for doing this and helping you is God. Who can change my thoughts? God. Who can help me with those thoughts? God. Who can remold those thoughts so that they become godly thoughts? God. Who messes them up? Me and the devil. But I don't have to do it. I can go to God and He can change it. Here's a question. If God made my brain, do you think God can retrain my brain? If God could raise the dead, do you think God can raise hope from doubt? Do you think He can wash away that shame that will run over me sometimes? Do you think He can break those chains of doubt and bitterness and selfishness and wondering about who I am? Do you think He can change that? Do not conform to the patterns of this world. But let God transform you by renewing, remolding those thoughts. And how do we respond to that? How do we walk with God with that? And we're going to be talking about for the next, 4 or 5 weeks, by thinking about what you think about. Think about what you think about. Because what you think about is what you do. Can I give you the best example of that? She was walking in the garden. It was beautiful. And Adam was walking right next to her. And she looked at them tree and she said, that fruit looks beautiful. And she thought, man, it would be nice to eat. And she thought about it. And then she ate. And the dude was standing right there next to her. And she said, what do you think? And he thought about it, and he ate. And it ended up a huge mess. Think about what you think about. I'm going to give you the most beautiful gift this morning from God's word. And Grace, you don't have this on the screen. I didn't give this to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, we can take every thought captive and make it obey Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, 5. You can take every thought captive and take it to Christ and make it obey Christ. Man, that's the coolest image that I've ever seen in my life. This thought comes flying at me and I'm saying, whoa, you can do this. And I take this thought, I put a pair of handcuffs on this thing, and I walk it right into the presence of Christ. And I say, Jesus, you take this thought. I put the handcuffs on it, but you handle it. And that thought has no other choice but to do what? To obey Christ. So when they come, think about what you think about. And if that thought's going to hurt you, you put the handcuffs on it, slap it on, and you walk it right out. And you walk him into the presence of Jesus, and you make it obey Jesus. It's not easy. That's why it's written in the passive tense. Let God. Let God transform. Let God remove. A good friend, and by now you know I don't like calling him his James because his name is Jacob. In the book of James, that is actually Jacob, chapter 1, verse 5, and Grace will have it on there for you. It says, if you go through life and you're struggling with his thoughts, and you need wisdom, if anyone lacks that wisdom, what should you do? Go to God and ask. And God will give generously, without pointing his fingers at you, without finding fault. And he will give you those new thoughts. He'll do that butterfly miracle in your life. So when those moments come, and they want to mold you, think about what you think. Amen. Take a few moments of quiet prayer. Thank you, Lord, for making us fearfully and wonderfully. Thank you, Lord, that you know us. You write in that same psalm, there is not a word on my mouth, or you already know, Lord, what it is going to be. Where can I run away to come away from you? Because I can't. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I try to go under the water, you are there. If I try to go to the depths of this world, you are there. Whether I go east or west, you know me, Lord. You hem me in from before and behind. Thank you that you know those thoughts, each little dash and each little dot. Thank you that we can give them to you and that you can mold them. We sing, Lord, change my heart, O God. Make it ever new, for you are the potter and I am the clay. Make me and mold me. So thank you that we can come to you and ask, Lord, do not let us be molded by this world to conform to their pattern, but remold my mind from within. Capture my thoughts, Lord. Help me to think about what I think about. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.